Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord that you bring us tonight. We thank you that we will hear what you want us to hear, we will receive what you want us to receive, and it will produce what seed that you're planting. And thank you for the anointing on this saint. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so tonight is Thursday, February 4th, 2021. And, you know, I think we've been going through some discouraging times, so I'm going to hopefully talk about something encouraging tonight. And this isn't going to be too long either. But, so this past weekend, on Saturday, Meg and I went to, to Jacksonville. They had a Let Us Worship event, and for those who don't know, Let Us Worship is a worship group with Sean Foyt. He's out of California, and the story is that when he when everything was locked down and the people in California were told that they couldn't sing in the churches, he took the praise outside of the church. And it started, I think, on the Golden Gate Bridge. And he just, like, put something out there on, I don't know if it was Instagram or what, but then, you know, all these people showed up, and they just, like, had a whole worship event on the Golden Gate Bridge. And so he's just kept going. And, you know, event after event after event, and then, you know, he came out of California, and then he started going to the places where, you know, the worst riots were, and partnering with local churches and local pastors to minister to people, and it has just exploded all over this country, and he's actually currently in West Palm. He went to West Palm the night after he was in Jacksonville, and he was only supposed to be there one night, and God moved. So they extended it, and God moved, and they extended it, and so they're going tonight, and my understanding is that they're now going through the weekend. So, you know, a lot of people are getting saved and baptized and delivered and healed, and anyway, it's a lot of neat things are happening. But with the event that we were at one point, everyone started looking up in the sky. Okay, now they had a drone flying around, right? And I guess doing video and everything. So, you know, I'm thinking that they're looking at the drone because it was kind of distracting. And finally, I'm like, what are they looking at? And I look up, and there is this jet stream with a rainbow across it. And in front of this completely blue sky. Okay, it was just, and they stayed there for several minutes, and it was just like lingering right over where we were, and it was just absolutely incredible. There was another thing like that happened when he was out in California a little while ago. The clouds formed into where they were a heart. And you know, I love rainbows, and I've talked about rainbows here before, especially double rainbows, because, you know, to me it looks like a wedding band. And you know, like I said before, a rainbow is actually a circle. It's a complete circle that's cut off by the land. So when you think of the double bow, it kind of almost makes it like pop out, like 2D or something, and then it just, to me, it looks like a ring, which of course represents covenant. And the colors of a rainbow are so vibrant. They are almost alive. And it reminds me of how, you know, like when I saw Abigail in heaven, the colors were just vibrant. And so anyway, I've also joined a couple of Facebook groups of people that travel. They travel all over, and they take pictures of different parks that they go to, national parks and so on. And the images that come through, I mean, they are just absolutely incredible. And, you know, God's creation is amazing. And I have just, you know, lately I've just been in awe of, you know, the things of God. And, you know, just even on my way here tonight, the way the sun was setting and the colors that were in the sky, it was just amazing. You know, Psalms 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." That's a scripture that Megan memorized a long time ago. You know, if anyone wonders if there is a God or whether, you know, he loves you, just, you know, just look around at his creation. And think about how much he does love us, because he created something so beautiful. And I know beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Somebody else may think, you know, really fancy, you know, a Mustang, fastback, 67 is
a dream car.
Absolutely. So maybe that's somebody else's beauty, but even that, you know, God gave us the ability to build things like that, and gives us, you know, the ability to have the ideas to create like him and after him. So, you know, it all points back to him, and as it should, of course. Psalms 33, verses 6 through 8 say, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their lights. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He puts the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Here, awe is yare, and means fear, be afraid, to stand in awe of, or reverence, or honor, you know, depending on its usage. And in verse 8, it's, of course, to stand in awe of, and this is the New American Standard. So, we are to be in yare of Yahweh. Psalm 65, 5 through 8 says, "By awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness. God is our salvation. You who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by his strength, who is encircled with might, who stills the roaring seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. They who dwell at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the sunrise and the sunset shout for joy." So I'm going to go to Isaiah 11 if you want to go there. But that sunset tonight, I really felt like it was shouting like joy. It was pretty incredible. Yes, and so obviously I'm talking about the awe and having, you know, having awe of God and his creation. And going to Isaiah 11, you know, in the chapters prior, Isaiah is prophesying about God's judgment. But then he begins to prophesy about a remnant people. And, you know, I think I've said before here that I've been seeing numbers lately. They just stand out. And I've been seeing 555, three fives, like my hotel room in D.C. Then 11s. I'll see 11-11. And I just kept seeing these fives and 11s and fives and 11s. And then finally the other day I saw a 12-12. And anyway, 5, we know, is a number of grace. 11 is, you know, chaos or disorder. And 12 is divine government, right? Okay. Beginning in verse 1 of Isaiah 11, it says, Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse. Now, Revelation 5:5 calls Jesus the root of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor by decisions by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the humble of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt around his hips, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. Well, guess what? This is us! This is the remnant! So if we change that, we say, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on us. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight, we will delight in the fear of the Lord, and we will not judge by what we see, nor make decisions by what we hear. But with righteousness, we will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the humble of the earth. And we will strike the earth with the rod of our mouth. And with the breath of our lips, we will slay the wicked. That is spiritual warfare. Remember, Matthew 16:19 says, God has given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever we bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And also righteousness will be the belt around our hips, and faithfulness the belt around our waist. And then going on in Isaiah 12, it says, Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, Lord. For although you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation, and on that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Rejoice and shout for joy, you inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. So listen, out of chaos and disorder, the remnant is being delivered, matured, pressed, realigned to be brought into the place of 12 divine government. So again, on that day, when we think of the hardships that we've come through and that we are still coming through, on that day we will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make his deeds among the people, make known his deeds among the people, make them remember that his name is exalted. You know, that's a good thing for us to do too, is to remember all the things that God has done for us, because it builds our faith. As we go back and we remember how God delivered us out of this situation and out of that situation and actually through the situations, then that builds our faith for where we are today. And we can't say, praise the Lord in song, for he has done glorious things. You know, let this be known throughout the earth. We should be telling everybody that I don't care if they're going to listen or not. rejoice and shout for joy, you inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And you know, we don't have to wait. We can do that now. We can praise God now. Amen. And, you know, he's doing a thing. And he is on the move. And as I was saying earlier, you know, there are tent meetings in California with another guy. And then there are these, you know, let us worship things in West Palm, Florida, that just keep going on and on. And you know, God is drawing us into that place of awe. You know, he is so awesome and he is so good. And, you know, every time I think of that, I see this little girl on the stage in D.C. And, you know, there are over 40,000 people there. And this, I don't know how old she is. You?
10.
10. Okay, she got up on this stage. And she just, she was like, God, you are so good. You are just so good. And she's just, I mean, prophesying over the people, and God was showing her a vision right there on the stage, and she was explaining it, and you know, she didn't care what, you know, people thought, or that people were staring at her, or that she might say something wrong, or, you know, all of the things that, you know, we tend to think about as adults. But, you know, God is calling us to that place, to that childlike place of you know, just, you know, wanting to share him with the world, and that childlike faith, like, you know, children, they will just jump into their father's arms and know that it's gonna be okay. And anyway, just like, you know, just like in talking about in Joel, you know, 2 and Acts 2, that, you know, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will have dreams, your young men will see visions. You know, our children are being raised up. They are not going to be, you know, like, you know, I think of when, you know, after the Israelites were brought out of Egypt. And, you know, the adults, the parents, they were so concerned about their children and what was going to happen with their children in the future. And, you know, the children were the ones that got to inherit. They were the ones that got to enter into the land and take possession of their inheritance. And anyway, that... You know, I'm praying that we don't miss that. Yeah, obviously, we want part of that too. But you know, every time that you know, I want to get discouraged, and like I said, this is a very discouraging time for many. But you know, it's like I have a little Lauren Daigle on my shoulder, and I don't usually listen to her. Okay, but it's just like, you know, look up, child. Hey, or rise up, you know. Anyway, because when, you know, when we look into into Jesus's eyes, you know, a flaming fire, okay, you know, we can't be discouraged. So, you know, be encouraged. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah is on the move.
Amen.
And he is awesome.
Yes, he is.
So, Lord, I just thank you for everything that you're doing right now. And I thank you, Father God, that you are showing your people the things that you have created for us to build in us a sense of awe and wonder. And Lord, we just ask that, you know, you open our eyes to more and more and more, because you are so amazing. And you created so much, and you created it for us. And we just thank you, Lord. Help us to focus on you. Help us to look into your eyes and see your eyes of fire. Father God, we just lay those things down, Lord. The worries and the concerns and the anxieties and, Lord, the heartbreaks. Lord, we lay them down at your feet. And we just ask you, Father God, to restore us and to help us to look up, Lord. I just, you know, I've even felt like God touching my chin and raising up my my chin to look at him. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for continually reminding us when the discouraging things of the world try to hit us, that all we need to do is to look into your eyes. We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Let's sing that song.